The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
LinkedIn presents.
With technological progress, the achievements are easy to see. The smartphone in your hand, the electric car in your garage. But the biggest breakthroughs in health appear in the form of events that didn't happen. The smallpox infection that didn't kill you at the age of 2 because we invented a vaccine. We don't think about these things because they didn't happen. But our progress in terms of health is a measure of all these changes that kept us quietly safe over the years.
Hi, I'm Michael Kovnat. This is the Next Big Idea Daily, and it's Tuesday. What would you say is the single greatest achievement of the past century? For writer Stephen Johnson, the answer is obvious: the doubling of the average human lifespan. For some reason, we take this remarkable achievement for granted. We tend to look at the prolongation of human life as somehow inevitable. Stephen says that's largely because we owe our extra lives to sly innovations and incremental advancements that took place out of the spotlight of public fascination. His book, Extra Life, A Short History of Living Longer, is an attempt to correct that. Stephen weaves together disparate threads from historical breakthroughs like the development of vaccines to forgotten triumphs like the advent of pasteurization. The result is a tale that heralds the power of human ingenuity and provides clues for how we can continue to keep getting longer and longer in the teeth. Stephen is the author of multiple best-selling books on technology, science, and history, and he joins us now to share some big ideas from Extra Life.
If you rewound the clock 100 years, the average human life expectancy was somewhere in the mid-30s. In the United States, during the last great pandemic, it was 41. Today, global life expectancy is 72 years, and in some parts of the world, it's approaching 90. We've basically given ourselves an entire extra life in just a century. A significant amount of that change came from reductions in childhood mortality. But until very recently, more than a third of all children died before reaching adulthood. It didn't matter whether you were rich or poor, whether you were living in a metropolitan city or you were a hunter-gatherer, 2 out of 5 of your children would die before reaching adulthood. And now, childhood has become the safest time of your life. But we're also extending life at the other end of the spectrum. In England, where we have the best data on these things, if you made it through childhood in 1850, you could expect to live another 40 years to the age of 60. Today, a British person who survives to the age of 20 can expect to live into their late 80s. Globally, the percentage of people living over 100 has quadrupled in the past 2 decades. I think this is the single most important thing that has happened to us over that period. If you had a newspaper that came out once a century, the doubling of human life would be the banner headline. Don't just thank the doctors. Toilets and sewers were just as important. We have a natural tendency when we think about improvements in human health to focus on the medical interventions, the pills or the x-ray machines or the vaccines. But sometimes the breakthroughs that make the most difference are the ones that are kind of behind the scenes or don't even look like major technological advances. I mean, one of the great killers of the 19th century was drinking water. In a big city like New York or London, you could drink a glass of water and be dead from a terrible disease like cholera in 48 hours. This was just one of the great killers of the time. And so the improvements we needed to make were not improvements that were happening in hospitals or in doctors' clinics. They were improvements happening in basic infrastructure. We had to figure out a way to clean the drinking water supply of big cities, and that made all the difference. So the invention of a toilet and the sewer system that it's attached to, or systems of water delivery and the chlorination of drinking water, those are momentous achievements in the history of human progress. They aren't quite as sexy as satellite radio or your smartphone, but they actually make more of a difference in overall health and the length of human life. Improving human health is not just about science. We also need activists. When we look back at our history in terms of extending human life, We usually focus on scientific breakthroughs, and that's understandable. The invention of the smallpox vaccine, the discovery of penicillin. But when you look at that history up close, you realize that there's something that is missing if you focus exclusively on the scientists. Because a medical or scientific breakthrough on its own is not sufficient. You actually have to get that idea in circulation, actually have people adopt it for it to matter in terms of changing the world. And the best example of this is pasteurization. So one of the things that I think is particularly fascinating is that in the 19th century, milk was a deadly presence in big cities. You couldn't refrigerate it. Cows were far away. The milk often had tuberculosis in it. It was a major killer, particularly of young children. In New York City in 1850, 60% of all deaths were young children, and milk was a primary culprit. Now, we solved this problem initially with chemistry. Louis Pasteur came up with the technique of pasteurization in 1865. So this seems like a triumph of science story. But in fact, even though pasteurization was invented in 1865, it doesn't become the standard for milk in grocery stores in the United States until 1915, 50 years after Pasteur makes his breakthrough. And that's because it required a whole generation of activists and legal reformers getting the idea into circulation that milk should be pasteurized, convincing consumers to buy it, convincing the milk industry to change its practices, passing laws. And so when we look at the history of this kind of massive progress, it's almost closer to things like social movements, like the abolition of slavery or the rise of universal suffrage. These are ideas that came from science, but they needed people to fight for them. We have the wrong heroes in our society because progress in human health is measured in non-events. There's a strange property about progress in human health that is different from other more traditional forms of technological progress. It's measured in non-events, things that didn't happen. With technological progress, the achievements are easy to see, the smartphone in your hand, the electric car in your garage. But the biggest breakthroughs in health appear in the form of events that didn't happen. The smallpox infection that didn't kill you at the age of 2 because we invented a vaccine. The glass of drinking water that didn't give you a fatal case of cholera when you were 15 because we chlorinated the drinking water. We don't think about these things because they didn't happen. But our progress in terms of health is a measure of all these changes that kept us quietly safe over the years. And so we need to make an extra effort to go back and remind ourselves of all these achievements. And I think the most incredible one revolves around that terrible disease of smallpox and the eradication of smallpox that took place in the 1960s and the 1970s. We took this deadly virus that had been the curse of humanity for thousands of years, and we wiped it off the face of the earth. Millions of people died of smallpox leading up to 1975. Since then, no one has died of smallpox. That's an amazing achievement. But think about what you were taught as a kid. I mean, every child knows that we landed a man on the moon in the late 60s. But how many kids know that we eradicated smallpox in that exact same period? And yet, if you think about it, the eradication of smallpox had a bigger impact on human life, at least so far, than the moon missions. So I think we need to celebrate these heroes, because when we celebrate these heroes and tell these stories, we remind ourselves of where real progress comes from. And hopefully we inspire the next generation of innovators to solve the problems that remain. The extension of human life is our greatest achievement and our greatest threat. There's a strange paradox to the story of our extended human life expectancy. 100 years ago, when life expectancy was somewhere in the mid-30s, there were just under 2 billion people on the planet. Today, there are almost 8 billion. And that runaway population growth didn't come from people having more children. In fact, people are having fewer children per capita than ever. No, the growth in global population is the result of people not dying. Children living long enough to have their own children. Their parents living long enough to meet their great-grandkids. You do that for 100 years, and the generations stack up, allowing population to quadruple in a century. And as wonderful as all that life is, it creates its own set of problems for the planet. If we had just kept our population levels where they were in 1920, we wouldn't be facing the climate crisis we are today. There simply wouldn't be enough people on Earth emitting carbon into the atmosphere to make a meaningful difference in heating up the planet. And so, In a strange sense, we have climate change today because of two things. One, industrialization, but also the triumph of public health and medicine. All of which raises the question of what comes next. We think using the existing approaches to treating illness, we can probably push average life expectancy into the 90s. But it's very hard to get far beyond that. The outer boundary of human life seems to be about 110. But a number of scientists believe that there's a radical paradigm shift in our near-term future, that we can treat aging itself as a kind of disease that can be cured, allowing us to push past that boundary and perhaps double life expectancy one more time. But if we start living to 150, the impact on population growth could be terrifying. So we need to decide as a species, not just can we cure aging, but do we really want to?
Thank you, Stephen. All right, everyone, however long your life is, I hope it's full of joy and inspiration. And if you could use a little boost in either of those areas, download our Next Big Idea app or sign up for our Next Big Idea box subscription plan. It will fill your life with wisdom and guidance from some of the smartest thinkers around. Check it out at nextbigideaclub.com. I'll be back tomorrow with a sampling of ideas from bioethicist Travis Reeder, author of the new book, Catastrophe Ethics: How to Choose Well in a World of Tough Choices. I'm Michael Kovnat. See you tomorrow.